There's a beautiful call of God upon us as a people. And in this day and this hour, there's such a longing of his heart and a drawing of his heart into such a beautiful and pure place of his heart. And I've just been reading in Timothy, 2 Timothy, and I'll set the picture. So if you can imagine, it all goes together. There's just, Father just wants to release truth to hearts today, just really wants to just cut across everything else. Now, in Timothy, Paul is in prison. He's been imprisoned. I don't know if any of you guys have visited a prison here or anywhere. I can guarantee you that where Paul was nothing like the prisons that we have now. Like, if you can imagine, there was definitely no heating or cooling or good ventilation, lighting. It was probably stone walls, some form of stone, cold. There's probably leaking water, drizzling. It would have stunk. They had no, cockroaches. What about the rats, like the rat plague? It would have just, so if you can imagine Paul in this place, probably shoved in with other people for all different reasons that they're there. I don't know if he would have been shackled at the time. They really didn't like him, so probably. And he's in this place. He's been imprisoned for sharing about Jesus. He's been imprisoned for speaking truth, for bringing life to people's hearts. He's been locked up for, he's been locked up for declaring the name of Jesus. I mean, and he's in this place, his clothes, who knows what his clothes look like. He's been beaten, he's dirty, hasn't had a shower. Who knows what he's been eating or if he's been given water to drink that would be just foul. Now, Paul is there, and I don't know how we'd be feeling, but what is Paul doing? He's writing to Timothy. I mean, that would be probably the last thing on your mind is to write to Timothy. Timothy, his son, his spiritual son that he loves. I don't know if you have ever poured into someone, you've poured into their lives, you've sown into them over the years, you've raised them up and you love them so much. This is how Paul felt for Timothy. He calls him over and over. He's like, my dear son. Paul says to Timothy, my dear son. Over and over he calls him with such terms of endearment. He really, really loves him. So he's sitting there in this place and is thinking of Timothy, and he writes him this letter, which is just like the furthest thing you could think of being in that place. And all this revelation, and he knows, Paul knows he's probably going to die soon. They're probably actually going to finally kill him. And he just, his last thing is he wants to pour out every last little bit that he can into Timothy's heart, into Timothy's life, because he knows Timothy's going to carry the fire. He's going to carry that passion that Paul had. He's gonna keep going with what Paul was doing. So you got that? We're in that place that stinks, hungry. I mean, he's probably got sores oozing all around from where they've beaten him on his back. I mean, we just have one tiny sore and we're in, upset. And I'm sure he's got pus and everything all over him. And here he is, he's wanting to write to Timothy. You know, Paul, when he was in there, he asked for them to bring him the manuscripts. What he asked for was to have the manuscripts brought to him, because his heart was so in the Word, in Jesus' Word, in the living Word. Okay, so here we are. Now, the story we're looking at is in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to start at verse 20, and we'll go, I'm going to, bit of a story though. So all of, throughout 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's lots of different pictures there, lots of different examples of who we are. And Benji, can you give me that drum? That one. Yeah, just that one. Drum. And just put my box on top of it. So, yeah, that's good. It says, of course I'm reading from the Passion Translation, which is freshly out. Woo! You all need one of these. Okay, it says, in a palace. Okay, in a palace, what does palace make you think of? Castle, that's it. Where is the royalty, space? Word I'm thinking of is kingdom. Palace is in the kingdom. So in a palace, which is like the kingdom, are we in the kingdom? Heavenly kingdom. Okay, so in a palace, so in our kingdom, you find many kinds of containers and tableware for many different uses. So you find all different sorts of containers, all sorts of different things you put on the table, and they're used for all sorts of different things. So we're talking about the palace, so that's like royalty. So some are beautifully inlaid with gold or with silver. Can you actually imagine like gold and silver on them? Some are made of wood or earthenware. Some are used for banquets and special occasions, and some for everyday use. So I have to imagine everything, because that's how the Lord created me. I've got an imagination like he does. So what have we got? In the palace, in the kingdom, we've got stuff. This one's like made out of like some reed sort of things. It's all woven. Isn't that cool? That would have a particular purpose. Like I could go collecting mushrooms, or who knows. That's got some purpose in the palace. But I probably wouldn't serve the king's fruit to him in that, hey? So it's got its purpose. This one's like a pottery one. I love this one because it's like rustic. It's got its purpose. If I'm having a cuppa with someone, very relaxed, I'll use my, because it's got all the blobs on the side. I love that. Very rustic. What else have we got in the palace? We've got, look at these. In the palace, sometimes down in the cellar, you might have some really old ones, like they're all a little bit messed up, but they have their purpose, don't they? They might have been used for medicine or something, potions, something, got their purpose. Look at this one. This is pretty. This is another little clay one against God's purpose. We probably put some flowers in there. You wouldn't want to drink out of that one. It's got its purpose. And what else? Look at this one. Now, surely you probably wouldn't see it too much in the palace, but it'll be somewhere in the back kitchen cupboard. And it's not even Tupperware. It doesn't even value up to Tupperware. But you know what? You can put some nuts in there and they'll survive. So it's got its purpose. Now, we've got like really pretty ones. Look at this. You might not be able to see. This is so pretty. It's got colors. It's like pearly. Now, this one lives in my room, like in my palace, in my room. There's no way little people touch this one because it would be non-existent. So it has its purpose. I mean, it's like a smelly one. You put oil in it. Yeah. Look at this one. Okay. This has got a purpose. This is real. This one's real. It's from my house. It's real. Did have a matching sugar one. is just non-existent. That's why this one has a special place. It's like crystally, is like real. It has its purpose. Yes, poor sugar container. So, what is Paul trying to talk about? Paul is saying that in the palace, which is like in the kingdom where we are, there's all different containers. And what are containers? Containers carry things. So they all carry something. There's all different kinds of containers, tableware for all different uses, all different purposes. Some of them are so pretty there, and some are simple and plain looking, but they all have a purpose, yeah? Now, after Paul going through this effort in prison, in the stinking, in his pain and gunk, to write to Timothy and tell him about all these things, I hope there's a good purpose for the story, because Paul is like, he's not enjoying this moment, but he's telling Timothy this story. What does he say next? He says, after telling that little story, he says, "But you, Timothy, must not see your life and ministry this way." We're up to 21. "You, Jeffrey, must not see your life and ministry this way. You, Jenny, must not see your life and ministry this way, that it has one purpose and one use, and that's where it sits, and that's this is made for collecting mushrooms. I'm made for collecting mushrooms, and I'll collect mushrooms only. Or I'm made for whatever." Normally we're like, you know, we have our spot and we stay in our spot, but he's saying with all his heart, he's saying to Timothy, "You, Timothy, my son that I love with everything within me, I want you to know that you must not see." So he's saying, don't look at your life and your ministry. Don't look at everything you do, everything you pour out. Don't look at it this way. Don't be limited. He says, "Your life and ministry must not be disgraced. For you are to be a pure container of Christ." So in the palace, in the kingdom, we're in the kingdom, we are containers, because containers are filled up with something. We're filled up with the Holy Spirit. We're filled up with the life flow of Jesus. So we are a container of Christ. But what does he want for us to be? A pure container for Christ, dedicated to the honorable purposes of your master, prepared for every good work that he gives you to do. As I was reading that, I was enjoying the story and picturing Paul and Timothy and all the containers in the palace. And I'm like, he says, don't look. I like looking at this one just because it's see-through. It says, "Timothy, don't see yourself as limited like this. Don't see yourself here and there and everywhere. Don't look at your life. Don't look at the flow of ministry, what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and through you. Don't limit it." And I choose the see-through one because we are a container for Christ. Christ, Holy Spirit, lives in us that can flow through from us every good work he gives us to do. Father, we just welcome that spirit of revelation and wisdom to our hearts today as we just unlock these truths into our heart. Would you just break them open in our spirit? Might it just go so deep. Might it transform the way we see ourselves, the way we see each other. Amen. So, he's had the story, and then he says, "Timothy, don't look at yourself like that. You're going much bigger than that." So that's the platform. Then where does he go from there? And then he just goes straight in, like, boom. He goes, "Run as fast as you can." Like, okay. So saying, here we're all like this, but Timothy, don't you do this. Now this is how you can, this is what you can do. Okay? This is what you can do. This is how you can go for it. This is how you can be that container, a pure container. So he's encouraging Timothy, be a pure container. And we're like, what's a pure container? How do I be a pure container? It's hard to be a pure container. You get all stuff on you. So this is how he's encouraging Timothy. This is how you can be a pure container. It says, run as fast as you can. Okay. Run. When you're running as fast as you can, one interesting thing, if you look at the athletes, when they're running, where do they look? They're like, boom. Now, if you look at us just jogging around, like whatever, distracted here and there, stop, have a breather. But an athlete, when he says run as fast, you were like bolting, like you got that one focus. So saying run as fast as you can from all the ambitions and lusts of your youth. So is Paul is teaching Timothy how to be a pure container. And so when these other things, these ambitions and lusts of our youth, I mean, you can take your pick what you want there. It's got a broad description there. Anything that's coming for your heart, run. Run as fast as you can. And if you don't know where you're running, so you might just be running from it, but you don't know where you're running to. Because you gotta, if you're running from it, you gotta run somewhere. So run from it, and where do you run to? You chase after all that is pure. I love that. Because if you can't quite work out what the ambitions and lusts of your youth are, and you're not quite sure what you're running from, then chase after all that is pure. Pure, I mean, that word just conjures up beautiful pictures, delight, something that's wholesome, something that is healthy, something that is good. So he doesn't just say, look for that. He says, chase after it. When you find something, when you see it, a glimmer of something pure, like run for it with all that you've got. Leave everything else and just head for it with everything that's within you. Okay, so we've got run as fast as you can and chase after all that's pure. And so he's going to explain what is pure. So it says, whatever builds up your faith. Whatever builds up your faith. So this is another good example. If you're unsure, like, is this pure? Is this good? Whatever builds up your faith, and you know if your faith's being built up. You know, sometimes you don't know straight away, but an hour or two later, if you're just feeling blah, then whatever you're doing wasn't building up your faith. It's like making you blah. If you feel blah, stop doing it. Don't do it. It's just that the blah stuff is so enticing. Makes you want to do it, and then afterwards you just feel rotten. That is not speaking life into your spirit. So whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your holy pursuit. A holy pursuit. What you pursue with everything within you. You wake up in the morning and you're just like, you know when you wake up and you want to do that thing, you just, doesn't matter what anyone else is doing or saying, you just want to do that. It says that that must become our holy pursuit. Chasing after what is pure, building our faith must be our focus, our one thing. Oh my goodness. And then he finishes off that paragraph by saying, to wrap it all up, in case we haven't quite got it, live in peace with all those who worship our Lord Jesus with pure hearts. Oh my goodness, I can't believe Paul had to throw that little bit in there. I thought it was just all about, you know, my passion for the Lord, my heart for Jesus. But he's throwing there, right in the middle of my love pursuit and my pure heart, he's throwing in there that I have to live in peace with my brothers and sisters that love Jesus. I mean, it's like right in there. It's in that, plonked in there. Live in peace. He goes on the next whole part of that chapter. The end of that chapter is talking about dealing with those issues in our heart. Live in peace with all those who worship our Lord Jesus with pure hearts. I have just been reading this passage and meditating on it, and I just felt like the Father wanted to encourage us, and he's just bringing into alignment. Like, sometimes we just get little niggles, we just feel a bit down or here and there and just can't put your finger on it. But the Father wants to encourage us. You, Cheryl, don't see your life and your ministry this way. He's speaking to the depths of our hearts. He's calling us up higher. He's calling us up higher. Paul was saying this to Timothy, the one he really wanted the absolute best for Timothy. He wanted him to be raised up. He knew he was going home to be with Jesus soon, and he wanted Timothy to live in the complete fullness when he was gone. And so he's like, Timothy, this is what I can give you. This is what I can give you. Like, come up higher. Come up higher. Be a pure container, a vessel for Jesus. So we're just going to look at that a little bit more to help you. I don't know about you, but if I just hear things, I have to see things as well. So I got some little pieces of paper. So, Bench, do you want to help hand them out, big man? Okay, now, because if I'm reading my Bible, if it's not like colourful and coloured in and drawn on, I can't read it. So I figured if we're talking about it, if you're just listening to me, you might not be getting it either. So you've got to see it. So as you get it, we're just making it very visual to eat up. And if you're struggling with the visualness of it, don't worry. On the back, I've written all the words. So if you prefer to look at the back, go ahead. I must say that I still had to make some bold and some letters bigger, but I tried not to go overboard on the back for people that love words. Okay. We're getting there, Benj. While we're passing that out, I just want to read the last bit of this chapter. It kind of goes in a bit more detail. It's a bit more, oh. So we're going to go into that verse 22 in a second. But the last bit of the chapter says, stay away from the foolish arguments of the immature. I just love how blatantly simple, in your face, and clear and obvious this is. Stay away from the foolish arguments of the immature. And sometimes arguments, you just want to have your peace to say. If I'm in that situation, I just remind myself that this is an immature argument. Stay away. So stay away from the foolish arguments of the immature. Why? Is he explains. Because these disputes will only generate more conflict, okay? And we all know that. There's just a little bit of a, you know, and we jump in there a little bit, then it just gets bigger and bigger. So stay away. For a true servant of our Lord Jesus will not be argumentative. Yes, can you believe it? Does not have to put his sense in there. I think that's our culture, having our 2 cents worth, isn't it? Will not be argumentative, but gentle toward all. Oh, my goodness. And I love the wording of this. And skilled in helping others see the truth. You see, it's not about arguing. It's not about not saying anything. It's about being gentle and skilled in talking to people so that people can come to the revelation of the truth. I think that is beautiful. And it finishes that sentence by saying, having great patience towards the immature. So those who haven't quite got the revelation, those who aren't quite living out the revelation, but he's saying, Paul is saying, Timothy, I believe in you. Timothy, you should be a little bit more mature by now. Stay away from that foolish stuff. Be gentle. And when you talk to someone who hasn't quite got the revelation yet, be skilled, speak wisely, and help them come to the truth through wisdom and gentleness. Have patience in our language. And it just is very clear, isn't it? Like, you get so clear. And then he goes on, with meekness. It's just hilarious how clear it is. With meekness, you'll be able to carefully enlighten those who argue with you, so they can see God's gracious gift of repentance and be brought to the truth. Do you get the whole point is not to be right. The whole point is not to make sure they know the truth. The whole point is that they can be enlightened, that their heart, the gracious gift of repentance, that they can be brought into the truth of the gospel. That's the whole point. It's not so they know they're wrong so they can ask forgiveness. And the whole point of us is to speak with the heart of Jesus so that those we're with can meet Jesus through us. Not that they just hear, this is what the Bible says, but that they hear the heart of the Father in everything what they say, that they come to the encounter of the Father's truth and heart in everything we say. Because this is the last sentence that says, this will cause them to rediscover themselves. Our meekness, our gentleness, our compassion in the way we speak, in the way we confront anger, in the way we confront foolish arguments, the way we respond can bring people into the truth, can bring people into the light so they can rediscover themselves. And who are they? Their identity in Jesus. So the way we treat people or not can help them discover and find their identity in Jesus. That is phenomenal. The way we treat people can help them find Jesus, the way we speak to them. And in doing so, they discover themselves and escape from the snare of Satan, who caught them in his trap so they would carry out his purposes, Satan's purpose. So Satan's got them caught in the snare. He's got them in the trap. But the way we treat people, the way we speak to them, when they're in the wrong, when they're being foolish, the way we react can draw them into the heart of the Father with our gentleness, our meekness, not about me being right. It's about the heart of that person encountering the Father. Isn't that amazing? So they can rediscover themselves, their purpose, their life, their identity as a son and daughter of the King. I was just blown away. Like, it's just, it just feels like you eat it up, doesn't it? Like, oh, yeah. Okay, you got your piece of paper? So feel free to read on the word side or on the other side. We're focusing mainly on verse 22. Isn't this cool? So you can remember 2 Timothy 2:22. We got it? 2 Timothy 2:22. And if you don't know where it is, I have kind of like scribbled it on the corner there. It got cut off on the printing. Okay, so where are we reading? Yes. Okay. I think there's like five points in this verse. So what's the first bit? Run as fast as you can. Pause. So just picture yourself. I can picture you all. It would be hilarious. Imagine if we had a race. We're lining up. And we're going to run as fast as we can. I don't think we could do it for a race. We would have to do it like if there's a lion behind us. I mean, there's got to be some motivation. So imagine there is. There's everything disgusting and everything's trying to get us. Run. Okay, so picture yourself running from the darkness. Run as fast as you can. Oh, let's make it about us. I will run as fast as I can from all the ambitions and lusts of youth. Okay, picture that for yourself. Try and break that down in your head. What that would be. Have you ladies have got some good stuff there? The back row. Okay, you got whatever it is that lust is something that gets your vision, that gets your attention, that takes your heart, that takes your innocence. It's your distraction, okay? So what are we going to do? I am going to run as fast as I can from all the ambitions and lusts of youth. Okay, what am I going to do? So I'm going to run, but where on earth am I? What am I? Why am I running? Everyone's looking at you running like, okay, where are you running to? Where are you running? What are you going to do? I will chase after all that is pure. I mean, even just saying that to your spirit, I will chase after all that is pure. Just by saying those words, I just feel like my heart pull up just by saying that to myself. Let's say that again. I will chase after all that is pure. So, I mean, you know, when Pearl escapes, that's the little dog, you chase after her. I mean, you literally chase her. You're like, wah, wah. I mean, you're chasing after, you're running after. So when you see something beautiful, something pure, something lovely, when you hear something, our heart should be just like drawn to it like a magnet, you know, like that just captivates me. I want that in my spirit. So it's like chasing after, you know, the closer we get to those things, the further the other stuff is behind us. It gets a bigger gap there and closer here. So I will chase after all that is pure. Okay, let's put those together. I will run as fast as I can from all the ambitions and lusts of youth. I will chase after all that is pure. I mean, just saying that, I don't know about you, just makes me want to smile. I just feel that goodness filling up in my spirit. Okay, so then we go, so all that is pure, and then we're going to explain what that means. It says, whatever builds up my faith and deepens my love. Okay, just pause on that. Whatever builds up my faith and deepens my love. Okay, just close your eyes and just meditate on that for yourself for a moment. Just say it over and over in your mind or in your heart. Whatever builds up my faith, whatever deepens my love. And if something comes to you, just jot it down. There's little bricks there under faith. There's bricks you can write in, whatever it is. Whatever builds up my faith, whatever deepens my love. You know, when you do something or you talk to a certain person or you read something or you listen to something and afterwards you just feel so good. You just feel like, oh, and that's the stuff we're talking about. Whatever builds up your faith to believe the impossible, to run with it, to take it on. Whatever deepens your love. You know, when you're with people and they've had an encounter with God, whatever it is, and you just want to be around them because they are so lovely. They're just loving on you. They're hugging you. They're feeding you. They're just like, they're just dripping love. You know, that kind of, when someone's like that, and then when they've had maybe a bad day, you don't want to be near them. So you know that feeling. So whatever it is that builds up your faith, whatever it is that deepens your love. must become my holy pursuit. Wow. Okay, so you got those things in your heart, the things that mean something to you. It's going to be a bit different for all of us. It'll have the same concept, the same heart behind it, but it looks a bit different for each of us. I mean, simple things. For me, if I just sit outside in the trees, like I just feel the Holy Spirit ministering to me, I feel like my spirit starts to soar. It can be simple things. Some stuff you step into and you kind of have to push a bit harder, but sometimes you're not quite feeling it. You just got to position yourself physically. It might be at the beach. It might be, for some people, it's like in their bedroom by themselves. That doesn't do it for me, but that does it for some people. For me, it's got to be outside. So whatever it is that builds up your faith and deepens your love must become my holy pursuit. So if I'm having a day and I'm finding that a lot of what I'm doing is not building up my faith, it's not deepening my love, in fact, it's squishing me further and further down, my holy pursuit, I need to start chasing after that stuff. I need to start letting that hunger rise up in my spirit and grabbing hold of some of that stuff and taking a hold of it and stepping into it. Are we starting to get this revelation? Because it, you know, a lot of this truth, it doesn't just seem to pop open for us. It's like you have to step in. There's so many, Sue could help me with this, so many like whatever the words are, doing words. Adjectives like you got to do, you got to, yeah, whatever they are, you got to run, you got to chase, you got to do, you actually got to take hold of it. It's not, it doesn't say open your eyes in the morning and there you are. It's like run as fast as you can. I mean, that takes energy. Paul, do you know what you're talking about? Run as fast as you can. Chase after. I love Paul. He's so passionate. It's awesome. Must become your holy pursuit. Okay, let's go through it from the top. Make it personal. I will run as fast as I can from all the ambitions and lusts of youth. I will chase after all that is pure. Whatever builds up my faith and deepens my love must become my holy pursuit. I've got to say that a bit again. Must become my holy pursuit. And then let us not forget the last sentence. I will live in peace with all. I couldn't fit all the words on that page, so that's why it says live in peace with all. I will live in peace with all. It just kind of makes your mouth go, really? Like, this holiness stuff is good, but really? You see, it is so practical, so deep. The Father is drawing us out as a people to disciple the nation and the nations. He is speaking to us like Timothy. Timothy, my son, I am so proud of you. You're doing amazing. You are discipling. You are just, I want everyone to be like you. And he's speaking that to us. I'm raising you up to disciple this nation, to disciple your community, your family. And now I'm giving you some little tools, some little things to bring you back into alignment where sometimes you feel a little bit crooked, a little bit out of whack. Here's some just things to put truth back in your spirit when you hear things, when people say things. This will just put a little bit of truth in your spirit. Remember back in the day where, if anyone still has it, a telephone that plugged into a wire in the wall. Remember the days? Some people still haven't. I haven't used one for years. But one thing I liked about those phones was where the telephone was, the wire in our house was like in a different room, And something in my spirit, I could not, if I would hear anything that was just like going down the wrong track as a little kid, it would just make me like bubble in my spirit. I was very passionate about speaking life and truth. So I used to, if I'd hear someone on the phone and things like, nah, I don't like my, I didn't understand it, but I'd be in that other little room, and what you do is you get the wire and you just kind of, and the phones, and they're like, oh, I think we're cutting out. They have no idea. And I'm like, donk, donk. And you do it a few times so they think the phone is cutting out. Then you leave it out. Because when you put it back in, you're still connected. Unless you do a few times, then it stays out. Then it's really disconnected. So there's, like, I didn't understand as a kid, but there's this, like, holy righteousness that rises up in your spirit not to listen to it. Don't go down that track. And this is what Paul says. He says, stay away from foolish arguments. So we've got all this stuff that we're running for, we're chasing for. But you know what? Sometimes the things, the ambitions and lusts of the youth, you know what? Sometimes they might be a foolish argument on the side. There might be a little niggle on the side. That's what we're running fast from. Stay away. My kids know if anything comes up, I just say I refuse. I love saying refuse on certain things. I refuse to enter that conversation. I refuse to listen to that. Just go and bring me something else. I refuse. Like, stay away from foolish arguments. Because if you've ever been in them, you know they just get bigger. They cause more conflict. So he's giving us such truth, which I think we really need to get into our spirit. Let's not be argumentative. Let's not try and put ourselves the right, make it true. Because we have to speak for truth in life, but he's giving us keys here. He's saying, be gentle and be skilled. I love watching, just hang around Charles for a little bit. He is very skilled in help. It says, be skilled in helping others see the truth. He has got the skills there. You just, hey, he's like, how on earth did you like, did you turn that around and word that? It says, be gentle and skilled. So, like, my prayer is, Father, help me see with your eyes and help me speak with your heart, but open up the spirit of wisdom to my heart that I might be skilled in helping people see the truth. Let me have wisdom. You see, he's saying it, so it means it's possible for us. It also means it's very possible that generally we don't. And so when we address people and we try to, you know, bring light and truth, we are pushing them away from the Father, because when we do it with his heart and with that skill and graciousness, we draw them to the Father. So if we're trying to just push truth, we're actually pushing them away from the Father. Isn't that, that's kind of really sad. That's really sad. Hey, I actually spend a lot of time, no joke, a lot of time apologizing to people on behalf of how people in ministry have spoken to people. We spend a lot of time apologizing for how we speak. So it implies that the Father wants us to get this revelation and truth in our heart. You see, the trick is that it foolish arguments kind of they bother us. They entangle us in, they want us to react. They want us to. So that's why it says, stay away. Don't engage in it, but speak truth from gentleness, from love, from the heart of the Father. Is this good? Are you getting some of this? And when you feel like, I guarantee when the word is released, there comes the moment very quickly after to test the word. So I guarantee you, once we finish this afternoon, we're cleaning up or we're heading home, there will be a little probe to see how much we've taken hold of, if we listen, it's not listening, it's getting it in our spirit. There'll be a little tester. There'll be a little niggle on the side to see what's going to come out of our hearts. So let's just pray. Let's say, Father, I want to be a container. You pray for yourself. Yeah, I want to be a container. I want to be a pure container that carries Jesus, that speaks your life, that speaks your love. I choose to run fast from the lies of the enemy, from the deception, from the foolish arguments. I choose to close my ears to that. And I choose to chase after with everything within me, all that is pure, all that is beautiful, all that is lovely, all that is full of hope. Whatever builds up my faith, whatever deepens my love, let it become my holy pursuit. Would you so unravel my heart and pull me to account that I would chase after what is pure? Teach me to live in peace with my brothers and sisters. Teach me to be skilled in bringing others into the revelation of truth. I give you my mouth and my heart. Please forgive me where I haven't led people to your truth and I've made it about me. Help me to see and to speak life. Father, I just release over every heart here today as we're praying. I just pull into alignment and I just release the breaking open of every heart, that spirit of wisdom and revelation that we as a people, as we're rising up into our calling, our identity and our destiny as sons and daughters of the living King, of our Father. Lord, I just release upon every heart, every home and every family, the revelation of the truth that Paul has written about. Father, I just release that burning fire and passion that it will be uncontainable in every heart. Lord, let there be such a stirring for the depth of love and faith. Let there be a holy pursuit that rises up. Father, just breathe that life flow upon every heart. Amen. So, get that, whichever side you look at, put it in your bathroom, next to your bed, color it in, make it yours, speak it over yourself. Yeah. I have got a lot of things to tell you, so hold on. First of all, I just have to say the Passion Translation. This is the new Passion Translation. I got the biggest surprise this week because I wasn't expecting them in Australia for ages and I got given this one. Oh, and I didn't dress to match it on purpose. Like, that's something I would do, but you know. So just with your passion on this one, you've got to have coloured pencils, not texters, so it'll go through. So coloured pencils there. Please get it. This is Psalms, Song of Songs, Proverbs and the whole New Testament. You want it. You need it. Get it. You know what Charles did? He's looking at it going, because he really wants it. But then he's like, he doesn't read tangible things anymore. You know, it's all on the gadget. So you know what he did? All his Bibles, he's got lots of Bibles on his app, are with Mantis. He wrote to Mantis. He's like, Mantis, guys, I need the Passion Translation in Mantis. And they replied to him and said they're looking into it. Yeah. Okay, so Charles is in Korea. Very exciting. It's been 9 years since he went to Korea. A few people have been asking, did he go through Diane? No, it wasn't. What's wrong? It was actually through Gershom. Gershom sent him to Korea with the Holy Spirit. But it's really cool because when he was in Korea last time, 9 years ago, is when he started writing his book. And now it's coming to completion and he's back in Korea. You can say something. Die. I nearly called you Die. So, yeah, so he's back in Korea as the book's been completed. And this is the coolest bit. Benji, can I have my iPad? He's flying into Korea and they land. There's always a cool story. As they hit the tarmac, you won't believe what came on over the loudspeakers. Chariots of Fire. Now, if you don't know what Chariots of Fire... Chariots of Fire is our personal, like that's what I walked down the aisle for when we got married, and that's like our song, and I just had to sing it because I'm just like, ah. Let's see if I can sing now. So he lands and Chariots of Fire just blares through the road. Did you have that, Sue? They think it's always in Korea? Oh, they're just releasing it, but Charles like, it was just for me. But this is the words to it, if you don't know. I rise up to worship, I stand to proclaim, the King of all glory, Christ Jesus his name. I ask you, Lord Jesus, fulfill this desire, mold me and make me a chariot of fire. Come rule in my life, Lord Jesus Christ, my King and my Father. Come rule in my life that I might be a chariot of fire. Come rule in my life, Lord Jesus Christ, my King and my Father. Come rule in my life that I might be a chariot of fire. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, isn't that awesome?